talking to my friend Brendan Whitted about the NBA playoffs, the play-ins, and USA basketball. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Let me start with USA basketball. I don't know why I'm surprised. I don't really don't. But when I saw the story that, hey, LeBron and KD and Steph are running it back for Team USA, I'm like, wait a second. We don't have anybody else that can pick up for these grandparents? What's going on?
I don't like the ageism. I don't love that.
I apologize. LeBron's still great. He's 40.
The little light 28, 11, and 17 as the season's ending. Something light. He's still phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're not going to be taking the bulk of some of these minutes. Like, I'm looking forward to guys like Bam Adebayo,
right,
Tyrese Halliburton. I'm really interested to see what Joel Embiid does.
Yes.
Usually you don't, though, these sort of international competitions don't work particularly well for the more lumbering centers. They usually like try to have guy Anthony right. Davis, Bam Adebayo, like those kind of guys can switch out and do things most of the time in beats and drop coverage. I'm interested to see kind of how well he fares. But they get, I mean, Anthony Edwards, like he's right on the cusp of,
yeah,
being the face of the league. And it's not just because of the way he plays. He is dynamic. You see the athleticism that pops off the screen. It's his personality, right? Like, right. You can tell he's got a wealth of personality and isn't afraid to show it. So putting him on the international stage, yeah, sign me up. 100% sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, and we still get Steph. I mean, this will be, yeah. I mean, Steve Kerr is coaching the Olympics. You know, it hasn't gone well of late for USA basketball. I mean, is it almost fair to say that there's a ton of pressure on this group?
I think there's always a ton of pressure when it comes to Americans playing basketball internationally, because we have run it for so long. So that it's one of those situations where you kind of get like an Alabama in football.
It's not a story if they win. It's
only if you lose, and that's no fun. It's relief if you win, right? Like, you don't get the sense of joy and over the top sort of thing that you would get when you would normally win an international competition. Versus, there's so many great players internationally. Basketball is a legitimate international sport. You're looking at what's going on. If it's Giannis Antetokounmpo or Jokic or like Luka, like those are the guys that are. I mean, hell, SGA is Canadian, right?
I know.
Like those are the guys that are the MVP. Those are the MVP race guys, and none of them are American. So, like, this sport is completely different. But people in their minds, especially the casual fans, still think of it as, oh, it's dream team. We can roll out there, and we're going to win by 50. Those days are done, yep, and are never coming back.
Yeah, we're not playing Angola in the first game of the Olympic basketball tournament when the United States won by, like, 60. And the team Angola was asking Charles Barkley for autographs.
Nobody's asking for autographs no more, family. They're coming to bring it right to your doorstep.
All right, that's Brendan Whitted. All right, I want you to hear something, and we'll pick up the conversation on the other side. We have the Western Conference play-in games are tonight. They are the Warriors at the Kings and the Lakers playing at the Pelicans. The winner of L.A. New Orleans gets Oklahoma City. No, gets Denver. The loser goes into the second game, which, if you survive that, you get Oklahoma City. Here's Mike Greenberg from ESPN today.
I'm going to say something in duck because I know that it is controversial, and I know that it flies in the face of absolutely everything that the spirit of competition was born to create. And you just said, Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the 7 seed. You want to be the 8. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round 1 instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
Thoughts on orchestrating your matchup?
Growing up, I couldn't go outside and play ball or anything until I did my homework.
Right.
If you're the Lakers, you've been playing around all season. You are now in the play-in situation. tanking and all this other stuff. You weren't good enough to win when you were trying during the regular season. You need to go and get your dub and stop running. Like, ultimately, like if you think that you are that big and bad where you can go make a playoff run, you're going to have to play them eventually. And look, would I rather play the OKC than the Nuggets? Sure. But understand, OKC was top five in offensive and defensive efficiency. I understand they don't have the experience, and sure. I think there is value to that. And they don't have the best player on their team, Jokic. I get that too. But they're still a really good team, and you're still over here trying to duck and dodge, and you're going to end up out the playoffs. You better stop playing around. Don't mess with your food. If you can win, by the way, Pelicans, not a pushover, even without Ingram, like not a pushover at all. They're still a good team. Like you need to win at all costs. And Anthony Davis might not even end up playing regardless because of his back spasm.
Sure. Brendan Whitted is joining us here. First of all, I always think it's bad form to try to orchestrate your playoff matchup. Because I just don't know of a time where it's worked, where you're like, well, we'd rather play them than them, and then they end up beating you anyway. And here's the thing. If you tank against New Orleans so you could play Denver, I'm just looking at the last time the Warriors and the Lakers played in L.A., Golden State ran them out the court.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you rather be in than not?
Exactly. That's the thing. Do you want to be in the playoffs or not? Because in a one-done sample, look, the Kings could win, but they're not going to. Like, the Malik Monk and Herder injuries really hurt them. Malik Monk, I thought, was a six-man of the year sort of a guy.
Right.
And was really, really important for them. That just sucks towards the end of the season because all those guys, they had been relatively healthy right up until, like, the last week and a half of the season, 2 weeks, whatever it was. So they kind of got a bad hand. So I don't expect that the Warriors will lose. The Warriors are an interesting case because, one, obviously they missed Draymond for a really long period of time.
Yeah.
And they were still trying to figure some stuff out. And by they, I really mean Steve Kerr. I thought he really drug his feet on playing those young guys. Moody, Kuminga, yeah. You see TJD and what he's doing. But they finally have figured that sort of stuff out. And if they can get some consistent play from Wiggins, it seems like there might be some other stuff going on with Wiggins. I know his brother ended his, who plays internationally, ended his season early for some personal matters. I know Wiggins has missed time for personal matters. I don't know if there's something going on there because he hasn't looked like the same guy that was an all-star too a couple seasons ago. But if they can get some consistent play out of him, you look back and suddenly you have a Hall of Famer, one that's playing like a Hall of Famer, I should say, and Steph Curry. You know what Draymond gives you, and Klay has been good off the bench or starting in some of these situations. You don't like a one and done format with them. I don't think anybody wants to play that team. This is not a regular, oh, this is a ninth or tenth seed. No, that's not what's going on. The West has been stupid stacked, and this is without Memphis this year, has been stupid stacked this year. You beat whoever's in front of you, you worry about tomorrow.
Let's just wrap the West on this, and I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions about the East. Brendan Whitted is here. At HU Cosell on Twitter. Is it the Nuggets conference to lose, or who do you see as the strongest challenger?
I think that it's the Nuggets to lose. It feels disrespectful to say that as good as the West has been. Kawhi, there's a lot of really bad chatter about his knee and it's swelling, and you know it's about that time where they're going to lose out on somebody. If it's Paul George, if it's Harden, if it's Kawhi, whomever it was going to be, it felt like they were going to lose somebody because there was a moment there about a month ago where this Clippers team looked like real dogs, right? Because they do have other guys other than just the Hall of Famers on that roster, but no Kawhi is that's a completely different conversation to have, even with Paul George shooting the lights out as he has been. Honestly, if I were to pick a second team in the West, I look at Dallas and I love what they did at the trade deadline for Gafford and PJ Washington. Shout out to the Hornets fans that are still willing to claim it in public. but like they got so much better and so much more flexibility in the front court. And you know what you have in two of the all-time great scorers in Luka and Kyrie. Like, they have, to me, the perfect combination. Unlike OKC and even Minnesota, they have the experience. Luka's been to a Western Conference final. Kyrie's obviously won the championship. But you have the younger guys with Gafford and PJ and DJJ. Like, they have enough of that sort of stuff where you're like, okay, maybe they've hit that perfect balance where they could stand in front of a Denver team that there are times when they just look unbeatable.
All right, now to the East. How is it possible to not have confidence in a Boston Celtics team that I think unofficially won 114 games this year?
They did everything that they could do during the regular season. Everything. They proved everything that they could. They were juggernauts on both sides of the ball. I am so impressed by that culture, by Mazzulla, and what he was able to do, because they changed out a large part of that team when Drew Holiday comes and Porzingis comes. That's a different squad, even though you have the Jaylen Brown and Tatum. That's a completely different team. And by the way, I was wrong with KP, the KP pickup. I just didn't think he played winning basketball. He's been a lot better defensively. The things that he's able to open up for them with the ability to post up. I know the post up is kind of gone. It's not as in vogue as it used to be. What it really means is the right guys need to be posting up. So right. You can give it to KP 5, 6, 7, 8 times right on the low block. You just didn't need to give it to a guy like Kendrick Perkins, right? Like everybody who's tall doesn't need back-to-basket touches. And that's what analytics has cleaned up a little bit. The right guys are taking the right shots.
Sure.
And that gives them so much more offensive flexibility. It's not all drive and kick now. They can get into some half-court stuff, and KP has the ability to really help them. They've done everything that you could ask. However, we've also seen them come up short in some big spots. And those big spots were only going to happen in the postseason. So fantastic, all-time great season for you guys. You can look at, even in the story franchise history, their net rating is insane. Absolutely everything. However, everybody's going to be looking and checking for you now in the postseason. Now is when your season starts. Y'all were put together to win a title and win one this year. They have the talent. I think they have the mental makeup to do it, even after the disappointing loss to Miami last year. The number 8 seed, by the way, we talked about play-ins early on. We had the Lakers last year that was in the play-in, went to the Western Conference Finals, and Miami all the way to the finals. Like, you've done everything, but you gotta finish it. Otherwise, folks are gonna look at you sideways and you're looking funny in the light.
All right. Final thing. Are the Heat going to do it again? Are they going to win the play-in game against Philly, then beat the Knicks, and then beat the Bucks or the Pacers? And frankly, who knows how healthy Giannis is going to be if they even win that series, so maybe it will be Indiana. Is Miami actually in a sneaky great spot for them?
I just haven't seen it, particularly from Butler, in a long time. And I understand that they played poorly last year and they were able to turn it on in the fourth quarter of the second playing game versus Chicago Bulls. I get that. I think relying on that is silly. I think that was an aberration and not what someone should expect. They shot really, really poorly last year for guys that should be shooting better. And then they sort of over-indexed to progress to the mean late in that season. And you started to see them kind of come back to it in the postseason.
Right.
This year, that hasn't been the case. They've had some injuries. Butler just doesn't look like the same guy. Hero, I don't know. I thought Terry Rozier pickup was good for them. That helped them in the half court in some ISO situations. But I just don't see it from them this year. I just don't think you get two miraculous runs like that.
It'll certainly be good television to have Knicks Heat if that's the way it goes. And even Sixers Knicks would be a fun series for TV. Brendan Whitted at HU Cosell on Twitter. Bison Express, go Howard. I appreciate your time, man. I will talk to you very soon.
I hope so, man. We're looking forward to
it. We're here. And I know Brendan was tweeting out about going to a hockey playoff game. You might have to come down here for that, because I don't think Capitals are going to be in the playoffs all that long. So, just saying.
Well, I'm going to say what up when I see you, bro.
You got it. We'll do it. All right, man. Soon. Come down.
Absolutely.
All right.
Come down.